Hi, dear listeners. We are still at Carlo Vivari Film Festival and bring you another interview, this time with a movie from the Crystal Globe competition. It's directed by Norwegian director Nina Knag. Hello, Nina.
Hi, nice to meet you.
She's here now to talk with us about this interesting story that feels very timely. It's an affair between a privileged white woman from the Norwegian upper class. She's married to the mayor of the city. She gets into a romantic affair with a young refugee. How did you approach that story? How did it come to you?
I did research on another project I was working on, also about a young refugee, but it was like this innocent love story. And then I came across these news articles about Norwegian middle-aged women having affairs with young asylum seekers at Norwegian asylum centers. And I was first shocked by this, like, how can this happen? You know, is this a case? And then I was sort of judging the character and I thought, you know, that must be this sort of women, you know, and I sort of pitied them a little bit. But I also thought this is really interesting. And I just immediately knew that I wanted to get to know these women and tell this story about power and dispower through a female perspective. But then when I was starting to write the character, I can't judge a character that I'm writing. So I had to dive into her psyche. And then I tried to ask myself, what if it was me or you or anyone? And then I started developing this character that I actually liked, you know, so that I wanted to create a complex female character that we both like, but we also dislike. And, you know, that was done.
Both of the characters, the young asylum seeker who's just barely 18 and she's, I thought, maybe in her late 40s, are emotionally very vulnerable, but in very different ways. And as you already said, there's a power dynamic which makes this affair abusive. Did you see it like that from the beginning, or do you see it still as an honest love affair?
It was like this power dynamic, that she has this power over him, that fascinated me. And to make a female character that uses her power, because it's not that many times we see that. But for me, it's not black and white, this story. I wanted to see, to touch upon the complexity of human nature and also about the gray zones, you know, because he is 18 and she's a volunteer. She's not working actually at the center. So it's not illegal, their relationship, but it's, you know, it's immoral. For him, it's life and death, staying in Norway. For her, she's something is broken in her. She's lonely and she's seeking a connection with another human being because she can't find that with her husband. And then she meets Amir and he sees her and something awakens in her. But he's also all alone in Norway. He doesn't have anyone. He doesn't have his parents, his mom, his family. And he meets this woman who sees him for something more than just being a refugee, but she sees his writing talent. She sees him and they see each other. So I think it was important for me to also create a real connection between them from the start. But then when things evolves, you know, this power of, and this power, you know, gets more, how do you say it? It's
toxic.
Yeah. But it's never black and white for me. Well, at least that was what I wanted to explore. The ambivalence between empathy and judgment and desire and destruction. And, you know, going back and forth all the time, you know, and to embrace like the contradictions, you know, in this story and in the characters, and also the discomfort, complexity of our needs.
This film also draws in a specific trope, which is the sexualized young Arabian man, which comes up in literature. It's a trope that is very familiar in films and one of those colonist constructions. Are you aware of this trope and did you think of it while developing the story. And actually, it's interesting because it, on the one hand, allows a woman from a patriarchal society to step in a seemingly emancipated role, but this role then comes at the expense of colonist suppression. Mm. Are you aware of that trope?
For me, it was, I wanted to tell this story from, you know, the white woman's privileged woman's perspective. And it was a difficult balance, like, because I wanted to be with Eva. She's the main character. And we see Amir through her eyes. So we don't really get to know him as well as her, of course, because she's the protagonist. And of course, that's sometimes difficult because he's a vulnerable character. And he's also sort of more mysterious because she does know everything about Amir, and the public, the audience doesn't either know everything about him. But at the same time, and we see it through her eyes. So in a way, we see it through her privileged eyes, you know, and that is a difficult balance. But I was trying to, it's her story, but I try to make him like a complex human being also. And, you know, through the poetry, we get to know him and his longings and his inner wounds a little bit more. To the viewer to decide. But I could also tell this story from Amir's perspective, and that would be a completely different film. But for me, the most important thing was to see this from a Norwegian woman's perspective, but also try to highlight character in that way.
How much research did you do into the life of refugees, into the reality of the process if they seek asylum and are often refused?
Yeah, the reason why I started this project was because I did research on that for my other drama series project I was working on when this idea came to me. And that's about an Afghani refugee who falls in love with a Norwegian girl, and he's gonna be deported. So they escape, so it's like a road movie in drama series form. So in the years that I was developing this, I haven't made this series yet. I made this first now suddenly, but then I met a lot of young refugees living in Norway. And I've done a lot of research. I went to asylum centers, talked to them. And that's when I learned that, you know, like fleeing to Norway or trying to seek asylum here, it's very common that, you know, the traffickers that help them tell them that you have to lie, you have to tell this and not this, because otherwise they will not let you in. So this is like this common thing. And so it was really good to learn that and to see, you know, it's not like, and also I think it's important that we focus on that, because that it's, I think it's very human that you will do everything to get the chance to have, make a better life for yourself, but also trying to understand why sometimes refugees and asylum seekers have to lie. And that says also something about our politics,
yes.
You know?
This is an issue that came actually up in a number of movies in the more recent time, that people who are actually persecuted and are under threat of death in their home country are encouraged or even forced to tell a different story of persecution, which then is counted as lying about the conditions, even though the persecution and danger for them is absolutely real.
Yes.
But because the system is simply more likely to accept specific narratives instead of accepting the reality, which might be much more complicated, much more messy. This then gives us bureaucratic reason to refuse somebody as a fraud, even though this person is actually persecuted. And this is actually the situation that then Amir gets in.
And it's devastating that's the reality. You have the rule that if you get deported from one country in the Schengen area, you can't seek
asylum in another Schengen country.
And that's his case, you know. So that he lived in 7 years in Denmark with his family and was deported. And Denmark sent some Syrians back even during the, you know, the war. They were having stricter policy, and so that's real. His family, and he wants to try to make life for himself, and especially since he lived in Denmark and it's close to Norway and had, you know, his upbringing there, it's so important for him to, you know, have the chance to have a future and maybe able to take an education. And so I think it was really important for me that he had this really strong background story, so that for the character Amir, it's life and death to stay in Norway. Then it's also devastating. Eva has the opportunity to destroy this dream. She has the power over him.
Actually, there is a different film at this festival, and I just have to mention it because the parallels are so strong. That's Dreams by Michel Franco. And coincidentally, I talked to him yesterday in an interview. So we also have the same power dynamic, a white, richer woman, a young asylum seeker. Are you aware of that film? When did it pop up? Because they kind of were developed, I think, at the same time. Are you aware of that parallel, and what does it signify for you?
Yeah, someone made me aware of it, but I worked on this project for 7 years, so I guess we didn't know about each other's project, but it's interesting, I guess. I haven't watched it, so I don't know, but I know what it's about now, and it has some similarities, so I guess it's, maybe it's also like we've had all these stories about male character, power imbalance, so maybe it's like also a need to tell female, complex female stories from a female perspective, but also about like worlds meeting, you know, the privileged Western world meeting vulnerable human beings fleeing their countries, you know. It's like because we live in a world with big differences. And I guess that's a topic that that's important to focus on, you know, mm-hmm. And it will always be.
Despite all the politics that go into this story, it's still also an emotional story that has a certain gender dynamic of an much older woman engaging with a younger man, where the man is more likely to be, he's young, he's pretty, he's sexualized also in a degree by her. So this is a reversal of the classical dynamic. And often these stories are mostly presented as abusive and negative. And while this colonist dynamic is certainly real and important, did that factor also ever cross your mind?
For me, it's fascinated me with this subject is that it is woman who loses her power, and that being allowed to create a female character that is complex and that's not always easy to like. I don't think we're used to that as much as, you know, being presented to male characters. You know, you have like Sopranos, that he's a serial killer and a mafia boss, but we love him. But if you do the same with a female character, it's like problematic. It's like, no, we have to like her more. She has to be sympathetic, you know. And why, you know, we should be able to have female characters in film also that reflects being a human being and the complexity of it. So I think it's very important to make these characters. And when I casted Pia Schelte in the lead role, I asked her, are you afraid of going into this character or this role? Because I met some skepticism from other female actors that were afraid of this controversy. And she said, Pia said, no, of course I'm not afraid. You know, that's why I'm an actress, to push my own boundaries. And I also been working my whole life on being able to play female characters that are not always easy to like. So that was her, like, why she really loved this, this character, and she wanted to play the role.
This film is your feature debut film. Was there at any point any pressure to make it more conventional, more optimistic, or did you always have the full freedom?
I always had the full freedom, luckily. And I totally my vision. And so but I made it in this Norwegian Film Institute has this program for debutant directors. So I was really lucky to get into this program. It's focusing on giving support to new voices in Norwegian cinema and bold stories. So the consultant there was very supportive of me because I said from the start, I want to make a controversial story. I want to make this complex female character. And he was like, yeah, you have to just push it. And, you know, not being afraid of the controversy. And maybe in Norway, we were a bit safe sometimes and conservative, but it's like, no, you know, now I'm going to try to, you know, push the boundaries of how to create a female character that I miss myself watching, you know, film.
You just mentioned that you perceive the Norwegian countries maybe as a bit more reserved. Is it also that you want to tackle the cliche or stereotype of the Scandinavian countries being very tolerant, being very humanistic? And if you look more behind the facade, it's not always that, especially on the level of asylum. Is that also something that you want to tackle?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're, you know, it's like also about hypocrisy with many people. Like, yeah, and like that this is a Norwegian couple who really, you know, they're left wing. They say they want to help. They, in this small society, you know, we should open our doors. We should help these refugees. But when Amir comes too close and is threatening their facade and their perfect life and their privilege, he's not important anymore. And that's, I think, it's an uncomfortable truth that we can maybe, a lot of people can relate to, you know. We don't maybe want to admit it, but that's the cynical truth. And I think I wanted to touch upon that, you know.
You have your first feature film now in the Crystal Globe competition at Carlo Vivari, which is a huge thing. How do you feel about it? And are you nervous? Is it pressured?
I was very honored and happy that, you know, Carlo Vivari wanted to screen the film. And when I came here, I don't think I realized how big it is because we had so much attention and positive. And we had the world premiere last night in the Grand Hall. And I was overwhelmed by the cinema was fully packed and we had really great feedback after the screening. So I feel really lucky that the film has this start. And I just hope, you know, that this is the start of a long journey for this film. And but it's been really, really great being here. And I love this festival and the city.
You mentioned that you worked about 7 years on the story. Do you know already have a new project you're working on or something that you develop?
Yeah, it's early stages. I'm working on my next feature film. It's more like a personal story for me about, it's a love story about losing the one you love, but also about continuing your life and finding love again. That's what I can say for now, but hope it doesn't take 7 years to develop.
No, we don't hope that either. No. So just a final question. If people could take one thing away from this film, Don't Call Me Mama, what would you hope it to be?
I hope that it's a film that I managed to raise a lot of difficult questions about moral and desire. But I hope it's a film that stays with you after you leave the cinema and makes you think, you know, and wonder that I managed to maybe portray characters in a human way.
Thank you so much for this interview, Nina Knad. Don't Call Me Mama is now at Carlo Vivari, and if you cannot watch it here, as soon as it gets a German release, which I'm sure it will, you read at it at Movie Break.